Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Let's Grow.Work, hashtag LFG fam, where success is in the details. I'm your host, Justin Bonnet. Back today, we got Andy. Andy, go ahead and reintroduce yourself, my man.
Hey, my name is Andy Thompson. I appreciate you having me on, Justin. I own CanCut Drill Bits and Cutting Tools. It is a family-owned business. My dad actually started it back in the 80s. And so we've been selling American-made drill bits and cutting tools for the automotive tech, mechanic, body shop, repair shop, fabricator for the last 20-something plus years. And so, I mean, that's the short end, you know, of it. There's obviously other sides to it there, but that's what we do. Amazing, high quality, as boring as it is, drill bits and cutting tools for professional mechanics and not even professionals, anybody that wants some real good quality tools. So
absolutely, man. And I appreciate you coming back on. I know you guys just got back from SEMA. I know that was crazy, but you know, I just wanted to talk about your story a little bit more just on the podcast, because going back to the American made stuff and just quality things, like, you know, I think a lot of people downplay how important that really is. But like the product that we use, Shine Supply, is curated and done by a family in Ventura, California. And there's just something about something that's made by people that use these things daily or are in it for the just the passion and not just the money grab and that kind of thing. And again, time is money, right? And using quality parts will definitely get your job done much quicker than the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say that, it strikes a chord with me. And, you know, this is my livelihood. This has been my dad's livelihood and my family's livelihood. I have four other siblings. You know, there was a family of seven that my dad had to put, you know, bread on the table, if you want to still call that. I guess I'm old enough to think about those days in a sense. And, you know, having that family owned quality, not just the quality of the product, but just the localization, you know, and the camaraderie of buying local and or, you know, knowing who the person is that you buy the products from, you know, really goes far for us and has been for a long time. We're blessed. I'm blessed. My family's blessed to, you know, have this company continue to grow. But you know, it was an overnight success that took 25 years, right? Or 30 years, right? That's the way that they say, you know, I've been pouring myself into these, you know, cutting tools and drill bits, knowing that we had a really good quality product that, you know, most people were not having access to, you know, the big box stores and, you know, the conglomerates and of course, imports. You know, it's as cheap and as fast as it can get into you. And once you introduce that quality of a product to someone who's using drill bits or cutting tools for a living, it really does change the game. And yeah, it's kind of cost more because it's domestically made and, you know, understandably so. But when time is money, like you said, you know, when you're taking three of a competitor's products from a box shop and not getting your job done, having to stop, go back to the store, you know, and wasting time when you could have just bought hours for, yeah, a couple of three times as much, right? I guess you could say. But you got the job done. You got to move on. You didn't have to stop what you were doing and go to the store again and buy some more inferior products, et cetera. That's kind of where we staked our claim and where we're at. So we just built it up from, you know, showing a great quality product that was available and demoing it and going out and basically organically growing this to where we're at today, which we're not all the way there. Nobody really still knows who we are, but we're okay with that. We're, you know, we're doing our thing. So
yeah, no. And I think that's awesome. And I feel like that's the way to do it, is just putting in the grunt work, staying in front of people, and then letting those people nurture the relationships that you have. You know, and I feel like, you know, you and I's foundation belongs to Woolley and Bradley, and you know, it's been good. And then you get into this community, and then people see other, it's this whole social proof thing, right? They're like, oh, well, Bradley's using CanCut, why shouldn't, you know, I should do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean the product has to be good, I mean, to begin with, or you know, you won't have anything to stand on.
Yeah,
but there are other products that are equal, I'm not going to say better, but there are other things. But where we build and have built our company was basically on that, what you just said. It's relationships. It's people. It's common interests. It's family. It's faith. You know, it's those things. And so once we start supporting each other and building each other up, you know, you can move mountains in that sense. And, you know, mountains to someone might be, you know, millions of dollars in sales. It's not that to us. It's food on the plate and a good time. And the fact that I've had it, I haven't had to search for a job for a long time. And that means a lot to me as well. And like you said, I mean, oddly enough, you know, just probably in the last year, but, you know, Bubba and Wooly have been in the last few years. So this is kind of new stuff for me, you know, as well. And that invigorates or revitalizes my passion into, you know, the culture and our business and small businesses and people, because that's really what turns this stuff around, man. It's people. And we want to support our communities and our people and our friends and hang out with them. At the same time, make some money so that we can, you know, support, you know, things that we need, like water, you know, food, shelter, and automobiles, which is a key part to what we do. Because, you know, quite frankly, again, I had mentioned it before, you can go to the store on any corner and buy drill bits, you know, but, you know, we want to be associated with the enthusiasts, because I am an enthusiast. I like automobiles. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a body shop guy. I can bolt some stuff on. Like I have a Jeep and I've bolted a lot of things on. I can do that. I love it. I love drifting. I love tuners. I love four-wheel drive cars. I love jacked up cars, lowered cars. I mean, it's just fun. And getting to talk to people about their passions, and then hear their stories about how they've built or curated this idea and put this together. And then I sell products that actually are used to help them, you know, do that. A small piece of it, but they need drill. Everybody needs drill bits. So that drives me, and it makes it enjoyable. Even after all these years, it still is enjoyable to me. So.
Dude, I love that. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. My mind's like racing, one, because I'm tired, two, because I'm drinking Ghost energy drink, but, you know, just all over the place and just, you know, super pumped, man. And it's like getting more comfortable doing the podcast and being able to talk to people and just really see the passion come out when we're discussing these things. I think it's really cool. And that's awesome that you're into all the automotive things like I am too. It's like, I'm all about, you know, again, the lowriders, the Jeeps, the Overland, you know, the imports, the right-hand drive vans, you know, all that good stuff. And I know you and Bubba just got back from SEMA. Was that your first time out there?
Yeah. So no, I've been to SEMA many times. That was the second time for CanCut to be an exhibitor there. We had never, you know, not only, I mean, I say kind of not, couldn't afford it. We've been, you know, it's expensive to come from the East Coast, you know, to go all the way out there. I mean, it's a week long adventure. It's amazing. But because I guess, you know, the lucky thing for me is that I had been to SEMA before and I was able to see it from a perspective of like, this is where it's at. These are our people. This is the enthusiast. This is where I want to aspire to, you know, I want to get to. And yeah, I mean, you know, we went out to SEMA this year. I did, you know, and Jeep and Bubba wanted to put a vehicle, you know, out there, like a featured vehicle. And I was able to, and we got it brought out there. And that was just a cool experience, just to be able to, you know, take something that Brad had built in conjunction with other people. We're talking about community, you know, that wasn't his vehicle. It was another guy, Steven's vehicle. And for having him to let his vehicle be gone for 2 weeks. I mean, it's, you know, a week out there before and a week out there back and et cetera. And I know they used our products, you know, to work on it. And I just thought it was great to like have that experience and bring it out there. But really, you know, SEMA is just a place where like-minded individuals or companies come together. And that's what really pumps you up, is that I don't know that it's all about, you know, seeing the latest products, which is part of it, or seeing the craziest builds, you know, that's part of it. It's an experience. But seeing your friends, making new acquaintances, having people bring other people by, going like, hey, you know Andy, like, no, let's hook up, like, hey, they got this. And it's an amazing experience. It's draining, but draining in a good way, you know. And I've been trying to catch up this last week as a small business. You know, you're the heart and soul of it. And when you're gone for a little while, it can take its toll. But SEMA was awesome. It was a great experience, and can't wait to get back out there. So,
yeah, no, it's really amazing. And again, kind of like you and I were talking about before we jumped on, was just about building what we kind of built and over the past couple of years. And I kind of sat back and I just realized all the amount of people that I've met over, you know, a couple of years, and 90% of them were at SEMA. I was like, well, shoot, man, like, I feel like I'm truly missing out.
Yeah, it's not only is, I will say this, not just for SEMA, it's for any of the car events and the things that we do. We've been going to, like, for example, Jeep Beach. I have a JL. I like to go off road. I'm kind of into that. And so we go to Jeep Beach, we go to Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion, and we've been going 4 or 5 years now. And it's like a reunion. You get up there, and it's not always just about selling the parts. It's about, that's, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, it's cool to hang out with you. And we all are like, what you up to? What are you into? Oh, I sold this, or I'm buying this. Or, hey, have you talked to so-and-so about, you know, getting this product because it's brand new? And, you know, yeah, have you used Andy's products before, you know, or CanCut's products? Yeah, I mean, I like that part of it a lot. I really do. And even on our B2B side, we go to a lot of business shows, you know, that are more, you know, industry related, et cetera. But man, the face-to-face thing and the people and the camaraderie and the relationships that you build, I just don't think, even after all these years I've been in it, will ever go away. It's the most underlying biggest thing about a business or anybody else's business is, you know, basically do what you say you're going to do. You know, and have something that someone wants. Like I said, you got to have a good product or have something that someone wants, but back it up, do what you say you're going to do, and just be a good person and hang out. And it's like everybody tends to want to, you know, gravitate towards the positivity and help each other grow in that sense. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about, man. And it's a really tough balance. Like, you know, when I'll be at a car show, somebody will walk up to my table and I'll be like, I'm a really terrible salesperson, but if you have any questions, let me know. Because I don't want it to feel like pushy. You know, it's so gross. Yeah. No?
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I'm a relationship builder, if you want to put it into context of what sales, that, you know, like levels of salespeople, like the pusher, the closer, you know, I'm just a relationship builder. And, you know, I've had jobs in the past before that, you know, they want results. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to make somebody, you know, buy something they don't want. You know, if they want to buy from me or buy the product, et cetera, I mean, I'll get it. But, you know, I take care of Yeah, that's another thing about our company. I mean, it's a testament. You know, Dad started the company in 1982. Of course, I didn't join it until 2003, so there was 20 years there, you know, without me. But, you know, for us to be in business that long, you know, it's not about money and sales and this, even though it is. It's a weird thing because, you know, it's about the relationships and taking care of them and fixing their problems and them trusting you. And that's how I kind of lead forward now, with the basis that my dad kind of gave me in that sense. In a different way, I have my own vision and my own things that I want to do. But the bottom line is, man, if your customers don't feel like they're important and they're not taken care of, you know, then you have nothing. And a lot of that just comes from caring and being, you know, relationship, you know, driven. And it's not fake. I mean that 100,000%. And you can't come across fake that way, because they'll spot you out in a second.
Yeah.
100%. You know. But I enjoy it. I enjoy being around people. I enjoy educating people of what I know. And most importantly, you learn so much from other people. So it's like, I love talking to other people because I learn and gain other knowledge about things I never even, you know, thought or knew about. So,
Yeah, no, 100%. And I know you said you've had a couple other jobs, but like, when did you start with CanCut? What was your first position? You know, did you just, you know, how did that go?
Yeah, so that's fun story. I don't want to take too long, but
Man.
my dad was kind of a sole proprietor. He was, even though he was incorporated, he was just him, and he'd get help, you know, like maybe a secretary or somebody to like do some paperwork and stuff. But it was basically him just beating the streets, going out selling, you know, product, and you know, just here in the Southeast. And had some unfortunate things happen in my life. I want, you know, everybody has them, so I don't like to talk about them. But you know, my dad needed me to come to work, help him come to work after I graduated from college, because he just wasn't in it anymore.
Yeah.
And he never pushed it on us by any means, the business or what he did. He wanted us to go live our life, do our
Right.
thing. And in 03, I just graduated from Georgia Southern University. Go Eagles. And he needed help. I thought, you know what? I can try to help him out in that sense. So that's when I started, was in 03. And at that time, dad was still mostly into industrial supplies, not even really selling CanCut. It was CanCut was a thing, but it was just the drill bit side. He was selling all kinds of other stuff on the other, hustling, you know, selling chemicals, this and that, et cetera. This was just a little piece of our business. And when I came to work, I asked him, I said, you know, if you don't see a future, but if, can I pursue that avenue? And he said, yeah, as long as you're helping me do this stuff, I'll let you do whatever it is. And so in 03, I graduated from Georgia Southern with a marketing degree with a sales emphasis, but marketing has just been something that's been in my blood, you know, for a long time, just, you know, having a branding and talking about the presence of it and how you incorporate it and what it means. And yeah, so in 03, I started working with dad. And as with any Cinderella story would have it, we had a falling out. It was very difficult at times to work with your father. And but I tell this story and not a lot of people get to hear it. You know, I did quit. I quit in 2012, somewhere around there, I believe, because of our differences. We weren't seeing eye to eye. It was straining our relationship. Like I wanted to make sure that I could still go to dinner with him. You know, or go to holidays. That was more important, you know?
Yeah.
And, luck be have it. I don't know if chance, whatever it is. I got a job at Omix ADA at Rugged Ridge, or a Jeep aftermarket company here in Suwanee, Georgia.
Yeah. Suwanee. What's the guy that started that guy, that company?
Al Azadi.
Yeah. Drove a Maserati.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's right. How do you remember all of that?
He was a client of mine.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, and let me, that's funny, dude. See, like you don't even know how everything gets intertwined. And I get this job over there and I was super pumped because it was in the automotive side. And, you know, and I'll tell you what, it was a graduate school for me. It was insane. I don't have a graduate's degree. I didn't go back to school, but having, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit side with my dad and et cetera, and then like breaking that off and then going into this, like, I guess you would call it corporate.
Yeah.
They were a small business, but they're big, you know, big, small business.
Yep.
Most people don't realize small businesses, even if they're big, they're still small. You know what I'm saying.
100%.
And I just went in there, and not only from Al, which I'm very grateful to, but there's a lot of other people that I made, you know, really long lasting relationships with in that opportunity. And it, oh my gosh, it was just like a graduate course of branding and scaling and how to you know, sell and market. And I didn't agree with everything that was happening there, but I mean, I was just soaking it in like a sponge, because I didn't have that where I was at. You know, I went from college and I had some odd end jobs and then went to work with my dad, and that was all that I knew.
Right.
And to have these, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, 4 years, I think it was, where we had our breakup, where I was in that position, was just, I look back at it now and it was just, I can't even put a value on it. You know, even during that time, you know, my dad needed help. He would always kind of come back, ask me for things, especially with the internet, you know, the websites and spreadsheets, Excel, et cetera. And I'd always help him, et cetera, you know, but he wanted me to come back, and I decided to quit my job over there. And all I wanted was some ownership in the company. So he gave me, he really did give me 19% ownership in the company to come back, you know, which I thought was good enough in case something happened to him or, you know, whatever, I'd have a little, or if he sold it or something like that, I'd have a little bit of a share.
Yeah.
And so I came back, and I believe that was, we're in 24 now. So that was, it's been 10 years at least. And I went back and I started working with him again. And, you know, I told him how I wanted to kind of do my thing, and he let me. And now, you know, I now own the company, and we've moved, he's retired, and we've moved on to this other level. And I'm really super happy, oddly enough, that bad part of it turned into like the flower part of it, and very blessed and happy that it went that direction. But, that's where my Jeep affinity comes from, though, dude. I started working over there with all them Jeep boys. Yeah. So that's why I love it. And I'm in the culture and the automotive side of it and stuff like that. So that's where that connection comes in. So,
dude, that's crazy, man. That's awesome. And before you are like in your transition of taking over and joining, like how many team members did your dad have? And then how many are you all at now?
Yeah, we're still small, you know. Dad had a secretary when I was there, and then I came in, that would have made three of us. And then when I came back, same situation, but as we grew, we had to hire someone to help us in the warehouse, you know, and so we're still very small in that sense, you know, but we have always had a rep agent. I'm not sure if you, I'm sure you can understand what that is, like the company that reps our products. And so that's like hiring an outside sales force. So we pay them a commission, and we have, you know, reps in every part of the country that rep can cut, so that we don't have to hire them. You know, they're not on the payroll.
It's a,
but we pay the commission of sales. Yeah, commission of sales. So we do have a sales force that's out there. We just hire what they call a manufacturer's rep agency, and we've had them for quite a long time. And shout out to a really good family friend of ours, Greg Morris, with NA Williams. They've been loyal to us when we were nothing, and are here now that we've grown, and it's been a key and vital part to the growth of our company. And I really appreciate his family and himself for the hard work that they've done and dedication to our brand and the loyalty to us to grow us there. We're at four employees now, and I'm looking to hire, you know, I can't get crazy. I need some help here and there, but, you know, as we continue to grow, we're actually moving into a new building. We're expanding, again, nothing crazy, but for us, it's huge. You know, we're going from 1700 square foot warehouse to now we're 3000.
That's on. That's forward momentum, bro. That's amazing. Don't take that away.
Yeah.
Don't discount.
No, you're right, and I agree. I'm excited about that because we've been blessed. I flat out run out of room, and we need more space. And so it's cool, man. The evolution and the journey of it, it's all part of the process. It's all part of the journey.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Yeah.
Dude, that's exciting, man. And especially for how small drill bits are. That's a massive duplication of space.
That's funny you say that, because you're right, in a sense. Yeah. It is wild. I can put, you know, thousands of drill bits on a very, like, maybe four-shelf, you know, metal racking, you know, spans maybe 8 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're talking thousands of them. And people laugh. I say people laugh. I'm laughing internally thinking about this, you know, because it's happened to me and my dad and other people where they go, how many drill, like, you sell drill bits? Like, how many drill bits can you possibly sell? And it makes me laugh because I'm like, you're right. You go to the store once a year, maybe tops two times a year, and buy a set because you need something around the house or doing a, like, dude, you just don't understand the people that use these, I mean, daily. Like, you know, Bubba has said before, like, and I'm glad that I've met him, you know, in this sense, because I've helped him. I feel like he would have to buy drill bits on a monthly basis. And you're like, wow, how in the world? And yeah, he buys less now because he has a good product. But there's just people don't, if you're not in the industry or don't realize it, I mean, you know, yeah, it's lucrative in that sense. And so, yeah, you're 100% right. It's wild that we're moving into a bigger space to hold these little tiny products in there because, you know, we're running out of room, and I'm very blessed and happy about the growth and where we're at. So
no, that's exciting, man. So when your dad retired, was it like a transitional thing? Like, how much of a struggle was that for him and you at the same time?
Oh, dude, it was a struggle. 100% struggle, man. I mean, he's 70. He was 74, 5 years old, man. And I don't think that he ever wanted to stop working, which I can understand, you know, part of that. You know, but as a son, looking at that, I don't want to say that I forced him, because that was not how it was not a force. It was just, hey, man, like, you've dedicated 40 years of your life, you know, to this. We're all grown and ready and gone and good. And you've got money in the bank and everything's okay. Like, go live your life.
Yeah.
He for a long time, he's like, well, this is my life. You know, what else am I going to do? It's the baby boomer generation. You know, he grew up poor and worked his ass off to get to where he was at. And I understood that. But, you know, eventually I think he just kind of saw, like, you know, yeah, what am I doing? Maybe I can, you know, maybe I can go to the beach a little bit more or go out to eat more or do this. And so, he ended up selling it to me about 2 years ago. Self-financed, which I appreciate, you know, okay, him doing that. I didn't have to go to a bank. So, you know, that was really cool, you know, in that sense. But, I mean, as far as transition goes, I mean, really, you know, for the last 10 years, I was running the company, and that's no slight to my dad by any means. He was always there. He was there to help me. He was there to guide me. Anytime I had an issue, a problem, a question, or whatever it was, but I pretty much ran it, you know? And so that part of it didn't really shock or change me, you know, et cetera. What has happened, though, is the growth has been incredible over the last 4 years. Obviously, something I've been working towards, so it's not like it just came out of nowhere. That part of it, though, has been very challenging, the scaling side of it, you know, having to, you know, process more, order more, pay more, take in more, you know, all of those things take time and more time, you know, more invoicing, more payments, more this. And that part I haven't really been good at accepting right now, I guess you could say, because I don't want to say I was more of an idea person, but I really thrive and strive in the, and the people side and the marketing side, the sales side, et cetera. And as we've grown and transitioned here, I'm doing a lot more of the admin side and the CEO side, or whatever you want to call that side. And
the dark side.
I'm hoping that I can, you know, find somebody awesome that wants to make some money and do all that stuff that I consider boring. They might think it's awesome, but I enjoy, you know, going out and going to the shows. We've been amplifying our shows. You know, we used to only go to like 2 or 3 or 4 shows a year, and now we're well over 10. I'm hoping to hit 15 next year. And that's a lot, you know, that's over 1 or 2 a month, man. It's a lot of logistics and a lot of things, but I like that. I like being in front of people and showing people our product and talking the good word is what I call it. So, it's been a transition, but maybe not the same as I guess maybe not what people would think, that, you know, oh, you got all this pressure or responsibility or debt or goal. And we don't have any of that. I guess you could say I don't have any debt. I do owe my dad for the loan that he gave me on the company. But, you know, I'm blessed to not have a bank breathing down my neck, you know, and it makes things a little bit easier for me. So
Absolutely, man. And I think that's great. And like we were talking about earlier, like, yeah, shows are a lot, man, but it's very important, especially because like you're talking about going to the Jeep Invasion and the Smoky Mountains and things like that. It's like being able to kind of be in front of people in other places other than just Georgia, and then having that outreach continue to grow.
Yes, it's been that. I mean, as a regionally based company with, we don't have a ad budget that's going to be, in the hundreds of thousands where we can just hit up every corner. You go to a show and really, some people look at it from like, hey, how expensive was the booth? And what, you got to travel and there was a hotel, then you had to eat and all this stuff. But what I've looked at it perspective wise is like, the ROI that I obtained from that, and again, it's what you put into it. So I'm not going to say you just go to a show and you're going to, get an ROI out of it. You got to be of a certain mind. You have to be able to work it, be energetic. You got to be there for 8 hours a day on your feet, calling people up, get them in. But the return is so much more than putting in, paying for a Facebook boost or something like that, which, of course we do. Everybody does those types of things. You got to be well-rounded in that stuff. But, man, you just never know who you're going to run into. You never know that guy that comes up to the booth and you start talking to, and he goes, yeah, I own seven, of the largest outfitters of off-road vehicles in the South and in Tennessee. And you're like, oh, really? That's great to meet you. So how can we help you out? So you don't normally get the opportunities to do that without being out there and in front of people. And again, I enjoy it. So there's like a double side of it. Like I get to hang out with people that have badass Jeeps or whatever car it is. Like we went to Triple Crown of Rodding this year, and it was the best show I've ever been to in my life. It was insane. If y'all haven't looked it up, it's in Nashville. It's hot rods, man, and the people and the culture, and it's insane, man. And the cars and the quality of the builds. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is what I do for the whole, like this week. I just get to hang out with nothing but ethanol fumes and burnt rubber all around. It's like it's awesome. I mean, for me anyways. And but again, back to the point, like going to these shows and doing that is very, very lucrative. But again, to your point, business wise, very time consuming. You got families involved, travel, expenses and stuff. But for us, I feel like, it's good to be in front of our audience instead of in a, well, digital is good for us too, but I still believe that I still believe that that side of it is where everything is driven. It's the relationships.
Absolutely. No, 100%, man. And I don't know if you remember, but you and I met for the first time at Southern Fresh earlier this year, which is crazy.
That's right. Yep.
Shout out to Joe. And that's coming back around in a couple months. He's already announced it, Southern Fresh 12. So I hope you're going.
Which, no, yeah, oddly enough, I mean, again, it's in our hometown. So that's something that I said to myself that if there's something that's here that I can get to within an hour or two, I need to be going.
100%.
Of it. And I believe it was, it could have, I don't know, it might have been Wooly. Somebody had tipped me, it could have been Guy Haney. I don't know if you know Guy or not. Somebody had tipped me off to it.
Okay.
And I'm like, contacted, what's the guy's name? I'm sorry, I don't remember.
No, you're fine.
Jess, Joe. And he was super awesome. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I paid my thing. I came out there. Wooly came out there, and that's where I met you. Yes, I remember that now. And to me, that was awesome. I'm like, this is my backyard. I'm seeing all kinds of people that I've never even, where did all these people come from? I get the same, oh my gosh, look at these cars. I mean, have they been stashed in a barn this whole time? Like, Lord, what are we doing? And no, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm definitely gonna go.
Yeah, that's one of those shows where I feel like it's the official kickoff of the season, quote unquote, because the season really never ends. But like that one beginning in March, it just kind of sets the tone for the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, Nopi Nationals is making a comeback. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. And matter of fact, today I was listening to your podcast with Mr. Battles, and I've been thinking about not only Nopi, but going up to the what's the event in Chattanooga?
Riverside.
I've been that and import. So when I was at the show at Southern Fresh, I met and again, I've only met him once, so I forgot his name. Import Alliance. Who?
I don't.
Do you know? You don't know? I can't remember his name, and I was so terrible. He runs Import Alliance, and a lot of that stuff is coming back, and I want to go do all of these things, and they're very regional and local, and I need to be a part of my community, and you know, and telling people that we are in your community. We are here. We are from Georgia or the Southeast, and these products are available to you. But not only that, I'm not here, as you said, you know what, 40 minutes ago on the podcast, I'm not hustling you, man. I'm not trying to make a sale. I'm trying to tell you that this is available. If you need it, I'm here for you. You might not need it now. Maybe you will one day. Or hell, maybe your uncle works at a place, you know, or whatever it is. And that's the main driver between that. But hey, again, if I can go to work, say like, hey, honey, I'm going out of town. I'm going to a car show for the weekend, but it's work.
Work. It's more of a mental work than it is a physical. Well, I guess it's both, but it's different than detailing cars, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I get what you're saying. Cause I mean, true. I have to, you know, pack orders and I have to ship things out the door. We build all the kits in the house. Like everything that we buy comes in bulk. So like if you get a set of drill bits from us, one of us has touched every single one of those drill bits. That might be creepy. Sorry. That's not what I'm asking. But you get what I'm saying. Like there's that, you know, that we.
Yeah, it's not off a conveyor belt somewhere. I totally get it.
Exactly. And so I understand that side of it, like you were saying, because we do the physical side of it and work. And again, the shows are physical. I mean, I had to send two massive crates out to SEMA. They have to be packed up and they have to be picked up and they have to be shipped and they have to. Well, I mean, it's no big deal. I have a trailer that I take to the shows, which is awesome, but we got to inventory and load it and take it out and set the tents up and all that. Again, not complaining, but there is work involved with the fun. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. We went to a car show a couple weeks ago at the Dragon for Toge Fest. And I'm like, it's for me, it's hard to justify hotel room and all that kind of stuff because it just adds up to the expense, right? So we left Atlanta at 3 o'clock that morning, got up there at 7 a.m., did the show, and back in Atlanta by 5 p.m. It was
the hustle, baby. And guess what? A couple of years from now, you're going to be getting a two-night stay up there, enjoying yourself, going, I'm not doing all that. We can afford it.
100%, man.
That's the hustle.
That's part of it, man. That's definitely part of it. What was I going to say? Yeah, so Nopi's coming back September, which is going to be really cool. I know we're going to be a part of it. Just so much nostalgia for us attached to that because, I mean, that kind of like started in Lilburn / Gwinnett County area and just kind of grew to what it was. You know, you had Madavi Motorsports and you had all the little Nopi stores and stuff like that. So a lot of nostalgia attached to that one.
And Madavi is still around, correct?
Yeah, he's the one that's running it now, the Nopi thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think I just, we'll need to talk when we get off the podcast. You might know some people I need to know, you know?
Yeah, no, I got you, man. Yeah, you feel free. So what's next for CanCut? Like, do you guys, are y'all doing any Black Friday sales or, you know, do you partake in that?
No, I mean, we do not sell direct to consumer, as odd as that sounds as me. We do. We have a website. We sell direct on our website. We do transact sales there. But, you know, 90%, 95% of our business is through distribution network.
Gotcha.
And so we sell to tools and equipment warehouse distributors who sell their product to mostly independent auto parts stores. If you can imagine, there are thousands of mom and pop auto parts stores that still exist,
yep.
You know, in, you know, Paducah, Kentucky. I was just throwing that out there, you know, or Sevierville, like, well, Sevierville is not a good, but you know, and these small communities. And that's, it's crazy because like what we were talking about, like the world that we think we live in, people, they don't understand. The small communities are still there. And the auto parts shop that's down the road is their livelihood. You know, there is not a Home Depot down the road. As much as we think there is, you know, some people is like, oh, there's Home Depot on every corner. Get in the car, start driving. You'll stop seeing Home Depots real quickly, you know? And so we sell to a lot of the mom and pop, you know, independent auto parts stores, and mostly on the tool trucks. If you're familiar with the Macco, Snap-ons, Mac, Cornwells, and most independents, gear wrenches, Snap-ons, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's where we've lived for a long time. And over the last, I had mentioned it earlier, last 4 years or so, I've been really trying to do this direct to consumer type awareness that these products are available. They're not just for the professional, you know, and I bet that you could probably, you know, talk to that in a sense that like you can go to the store and buy something, you know, a wipe or a wax or a cleaner. You know, but you have this professional side, you know, where it's like the detailers and the people in my world are using these real professional products. And, you know, we're just trying to, you know, we're not circumventing our distribution at all. We're just trying to like raise the boats, you know, like if we can get more awareness out there, then our distribution network will get more sales, we hope, because people don't know about us outside of the B2B side. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. And I'm glad that you're doing that because, I mean, there's a thing for everyone, right? And there's a way to do it for everybody to win.
Yes, yeah. And that's what we want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What are you using for your e-commerce store just to kind of get on the business talk of things?
So we use Magento.
Okay.
And I'm not really versed. I have some people that help me with that because I'm lucky that I do have, again, it's relationships, you know, it's people.
Yep.
And, you know, Paul Firestein, you know, good buddy of mine that I met at the Jeep company. I mean, he's just well versed in that. He has his own company and, you know, he's hooked me up with these, you know, amazing things that I don't, you know, it's not like going on like Shopify. And I'm sure there's a great shop, e-commerce, you know, like business, you know what I'm trying to say. But he handles this like the back end of it and all that stuff. I'm like, it's crazy. So yeah, no, it's we just don't push the web commerce. Like, is not a big push for us because we're not direct to consumer. So we have it there. We have all of our information out there. I mean, you can find out every product detail, whatever you're looking for in our catalog. It's there, and yes, it's available to purchase. But we like to mostly funnel everything as much as we can through our distribution network. So,
yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's the way to do it. That totally makes sense. And it keeps, you know, the small tasks from being in your hands to other people.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, and I haven't really talked to direct to consumer business owner because I don't know very many. Hopefully I'll learn. I can't imagine, you know, just, you know, sending 1,000 orders out a day. You know, we are blessed. I send a big pallet of stuff to one place and they handle the logistics and the distribution. And that's why I'm very thankful for them and our partnerships because there's overhead involved in that with them too. They have a sales staff and they have warehouse staff and et cetera. And we've able to keep our, you know, selves small in that sense and not having to invest, you know, too heavily in that side, because most everything we send out is in bulk. And so, you know, things are changing, you know, most people want to buy directly from the, you know, manufacturer, consumer, you know, direct to consumer, et cetera. So we're open to that, but we don't sell our products on Amazon. We don't sell, our products are on Amazon, but we don't sell to Amazon. Those are okay. Our distributors that sell.
Okay.
We like that traditional thing, but again, that traditional side, and that's a whole other podcast. It's going away. The traditional, you know, warehousing and the stepping and et cetera, it's going away. Everybody is going, you know, directly to the consumer or directly to the retailer. And it's just not good. It's hard to fight. The good news, though, is the consumer gets better pricing. And not to say that we were cheating or anybody's cheating anybody else, but there was a, and never was. It's, there's just a lot of logistics that are involved for all of that, from who, you know, and someone, you got to get it to here and you got to take it to there and you got to get it to that. There's value added to it. That's, again, another whole thing. But, you know, I think more manufacturers are starting to circumvent the other, you know, distributor paths and just kind of going direct, which could be a bad thing, honestly. But we'll see. Checking stuff out. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just a matter of pivoting, right? Like, I mean, there's got to be a way to make it happen because that's just the way business works. You just got to figure it out. And it might suck. It might be some headaches, but it might be kind of like when you and your dad, quote unquote, broke up. It might make things better in the long run. Who knows?
That's right. You never know. And speaking of pivoting, that's what's great about being a small business is we can pivot very quickly. We can be very attentive to the needs of our customers. Yes, we're growing and we want to continue to grow, but we hope that we'll always hold on to that value of being there and being available to take care of their needs and our questions and concerns and et cetera. Value added in a sense. So
yeah, absolutely, man. There's something to be said about that. I've been with Square for 15 years or so since they basically started doing credit card processing. And I switched for our online booking to a company called Yourable. And it's like a detail specific app done by a family. I can't remember exactly where they live, but their customer service is on point. You can pretty much message them anytime. They're heavily involved in the community. And that in itself is a massive selling point and a reason to switch. So I totally agree to that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, again, we discussed earlier, you know, I'm 45 years old. I'm kind of in this in between, you know, analog, digital, you know, world. The digital side of it was so exciting and we've ran with it, you know, but I'm kind of coming back to thinking, you know, we had lost a piece of who we were in that side of it. And I think things are slowly, hopefully coming back to that side of it where we're back to connecting ourselves to the actual community that we're in or the small business and the customer service side of it, not just the cheapest price or the cheapest, you know, the fastest thing that we can get, you know, and I hope that it goes back in that direction. And hey, we're kind of a testament to that. Like, I mean, you look at it after this, if anybody goes and looks at our products or on the website or whatever it is, I mean, you're going to flip out if you haven't looked at it. I mean, we're talking $300 for a set of drill bits, right? $300.
Versus what? What's the other guys, quote unquote, selling it for?
You want to say other guys? I can tell you, you can walk into Harbor Freight, Home Depot, wherever it is, and buy a set of drill bits for $20.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, and so it depends, again, like I said, look, we're not trying to sell to the just, you know, person that needed to make a hole in a piece of, you know, wood today to hang up a picture. And I don't mean that in ugly. They know that too. We're not their customer. They're not our customer, you know. But I'm sure that it surprises people that. But I mean, there's so many factors that go along with it. I mean, we're all USA made, you know, and there's the cost to that because of what has happened. I'm not getting into anything outside of us talking about it. You know, and so we probably could provide a pretty good product, a lot cheaper, I guess you could say, or less, a better cost value to, you know, but you get what you pay for. And we stand behind that. And we're trying to, you know, not only keep our family fed, you know, but there's workers that make our products, you know, and people that make our cases and people that make the stickers that go on our products and all that stuff, and everything's in here. It's all US. I mean, we don't make, I don't make the boxes that we ship this stuff out of. You can go down the line, you know, and all of this contributes to that massive, you know, cog that should be right here in the US, and we should all benefit from that.
Yeah.
I hate that sometimes it does cost $300 for a quality set of drill bits, but that's just the fact.
Yeah, no, and you know, again, it goes back to, is it worth it? Does it save you time? And do you buy $10,000 less over your lifetime because you don't need any more? Like, it's a whole different kind of thing.
You're right. And that was like pointing back to what you, like, and I'm not turning this on you, that you're, but I mean, there's a difference between what you sell professionally, right? Or what your products are compared to what, you know, you can buy for $2 at, you know, a parts store.
Oh, you know, 100%. And again, I mean, their story is very similar to yours. I mean, Jeremy Stevens created Shine Supply in 2009. His son, Colby, we actually did a podcast a couple weeks ago, but he stepped in and he's helping. He hasn't taken over, but he's helping. He's only 23 years old, but just the maturity and the aspects that he brings to the company just kind of goes along to what his dad has built. And it's epic. It really is. And that's part of what you're buying when you buy a family-made product.
I love that. I love hearing that. And I think this is great to even highlight some of that, you know, just support this stuff. I mean, we all have to make money, you know, and, you know, I don't ever believe that someone's trying to pull anything over anyone. Oh, no, there's criminals out there. I'm not going to say that, you know, but we're just trying to provide for our family, but also provide great quality product that we stand behind and that we're going to, you know, be there for, you know, and after 40 something years, I think that people have started to realize that we know cutting tools and we're going to stand behind them and we're going to take care of you, you know, and we're going to be there. Yeah. You're paying a premium, but you get a premium service. You get a premium product, 100%. You know, and, so,
yeah, no, it's awesome, man. And I know you got wife and little ones. I believe you have children, right?
Yeah, I'm married. Lisa and I've been married for, and I can't even remember. So if she hears this, she'll be like,
"You've been this 13 years away."
Yeah, you're right. Long time, but yeah, we have two children. One is, you know, a big old 18-year-old senior in high school. So, you know. He's a great kid, man. He's doing well. He's been welding for the last few years. We've been watching that grow, which has been cool, like trade wise, you know, building a skill and stuff like that. Yeah. And so he's got a job doing welding right now. And so we're proud of him. He knows everything, but what I did too when I was 18, you know, and then our daughter Drew is 11. She's in sixth grade. Very art-centric girl, man. She loves the arts and music and stuff like that. So I've been playing volleyball for the last, you know, year or so. She's really enjoying that. We're enjoying it too. But yeah, we got a fur baby and then, you know, yeah, business, owning your own business. And my wife works too. She's a hygienist. So we're just boom, boom, boom all the time, man. And
That's what I was going to ask is how do you do the whole work-life balance? Is it hard for you to disconnect when you get home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I tell you, you know, what helps is having the support from your family.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's a lot. They don't understand it all the time. My wife, maybe more than the kids, you know, but I do go out of town. I don't want to say a lot because I know that someone's going to be like, you don't go out of town as much as I do. You know, I'm not putting that, you know, but at least once a month or more, you know, I'm not here for a weekend or a week, you know, and that can be tough and rough. And I really appreciate my wife believing in me and believing in our dream. And now that I own the company, she's the owner too, right? Mama owns the company too. And so, you know, having her backing, you know, with that is great. And the kids are great too about it. They're in the social media a lot more than I am, even though I am. That's a wild thing to say because I got to be into it, right? And I'm always, you know, and so I love them, you know, when I'm like, hey, I did this or we went and saw this or we saw these people and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, let me share it with my people, with my friends and let me do this. And my daughter is now getting into where she's understanding how to edit like certain videos and stuff. You know, terrible at that. So I'll take a bunch of videos at a show or an event and I'll come back and give her my phone. And, you know, 10 minutes later, she's
awesome, dude.
Oh, here you go, Dad. Here's a reel for you. I'm like, yes. So maybe I'm shaping her to be my marketing or media director one day. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they have any kind of interest in the business, more so your son at his age, but
He does not. But that's okay. No, I really appreciate you asking about that, because you know what? That's, it might not be the same for everybody, but I mean, family is, even if it's not the same, still very critical and important to your success, as a person, as a friend, and as a business owner, you know, very much. You need way more than just yourself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things that, you know, as business owners, I feel like we all struggle with, or we all think we might be alone in the situation, but it's all very common grounds, like detaching when you get home and making sure you're paying your spouse and your children attention and things like that.
It's funny you said that, though. I will always say this, that I am always forever on an island. Always forever on an island, have been, and I still cannot cope with it. It's very hard sometimes, you know, and that's the one side of it that I don't wish upon anybody. I wish everybody could be, you know, all the good stuff that comes from being a business owner and entrepreneur and everything. The one thing that I will say that I don't like about all of it is I just sometimes can't cut it off. And I guess you can never really cut it off, because that wouldn't be who you are. You wouldn't be an entrepreneur. You wouldn't be a business owner. You know, I could go without the 3 a.m. did I pay that vendor today, you know, thought, or, you know, et cetera. But that's just, you know, it's part of it, you know, trying to put processes together and then finding good people. Like, I've got a few good people right now that are working for me that it's just helping so immensely.
Awesome.
You know, and letting go of that stuff too. Like, I'm learning as we continue to go that, you know, I'm not the best at everything, right? Other people know how to do stuff good too. Let them do this stuff, you know, pay them well, treat them well, let them do that, you know?
Yeah.
But,
and empower them.
Yeah. It's a empower. Yeah. But I'm not I guess you could say I'm a leader, but it's like, I'm not a boss. Like, I don't know what I'm, and I don't mean like a boss like that. I mean, you know, like, that's another side of entrepreneur or business ownership and stuff. It's like when you have this thing, you're growing, you need help, and then they're looking to you for leadership, or, you know, to be their boss, you know, per se, or tell them what to do. And I'm like, yo, I don't know. That's not what I don't know how to do that. I just go to work. I just work.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been another struggle as we've continued to grow, that I've been trying to work through. But hey, all in all, I'm not complaining at all, man. I wouldn't choose any other way. You know, this has been, it's awesome. It's awesome. So
no, dude, and I'm really proud of you, man. I mean, for you to have taken over and made the transition and trying, and it's figuring out along the way, you know?
Well, I appreciate that, man. I'm proud of you too. Thank you.
I'm trying, man. We're gonna figure it out one way or another.
Dude, that's all it is, in my opinion. I think people get overlooked, like, just go figure it out. But it takes hard work and discipline. Like, you gotta be, not afraid. I mean, you got to be unafraid for the failure side of it. You got to be unafraid of the no. You can't be stupid about it, but, you know, you just got to go for it, you know? And I think that that's part of the growth that we've had over the last few 4 or 5 years, is like, I just don't care anymore. Is that a bad way to say it? I just go for it. I ask people things, and I say, can we do this? Instead of going, oh, they might not want to, or they probably wouldn't. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to ask. If they say no, I'll be like, peace. Later, I'll see. And that's also with age and maturity. I mean, shit, you know, it's been a long, I've been working for 30 years of my life now, you know, so yeah. As crazy as that even sounds to say, you know, my son's, he's like, oh man, I'm so tired. I've been working all day. And I'm like, well, that's why I told you, man, stop working. Go do something else for a little while. I still can pay the bills for you for a minute, man. You'll be working for the rest of your life, you know. But I appreciate his work ethic, you know. And that's probably instilled in him by by Lisa and I. Man, we get up every day, go to work every day. That's all he's seen for 18 years of his life. So I guess that's another positive or good thing, you know.
No, that's awesome, man. And again, just positive vibes, and it's all about who you surround yourself with, whether it's family or friends, you know, so instilling that, I think, is great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like hanging out with Wooly and Bubba and everybody else, man. It's just, there's such good vibes, and I'm like, God, this is awesome. I want to do this more, you know?
Yeah. I was, so yesterday we finished up, it's not so much a secret, you know, but we're waiting to reveal it. I've teamed up with Wooly at S3 Magazine and Bubba at Black Bear Off-Road to do a little shop truck for CanCut. I bought a 2011 silver. I bought it brand new in 2011. So first brand new car I ever bought. I won't buy another one ever again, but I got that one. Well, Lisa bought one. I mean, we did get another one. I'm not saying you're okay. Got to be careful what I say, but
you're fine.
And I've had it since 2011. And I said, man, I own this truck. It's an awesome truck. Let's do something with it. So we kind of collaborated and we're doing some fun stuff. We got, we lowered it and we're doing the work. Of course, I'm not a mechanic or a body guy, but I'm in there with Brad and Wooly over, you know, 2 or 3 days that we were in graciously in Bubba's shop. He let us go in there and it's been fun. So I was there yesterday finishing the first part of it, which was the get that thing on the ground. So it's on the ground now. And this is fun. We had fun yesterday. And I have to remind myself, like you just said, you know, I'm blessed that I have a team that was working, I guess you could say, all day on a Monday at the shop and warehouse. And I was able to go screw around with some friends. So very blessed.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're just nurturing the relationship, man.
Yep.
So that's awesome, dude. Well, what's on the plans for the weekend, even though it's only Tuesday?
I know, right? No, man. You know, holidays are coming up. We got to get through that part, but we're going to the PRI show in Indianapolis, which is the sister show to SEMA.
Okay.
It's the Performance Racing Industry Show. They used to have it in Orlando, and they moved it up to Indianapolis. Indianapolis is an amazing, cool city. Love going up there. That's our favorite show of the year. It's the last show that we do. I love it. It is. It's nothing but fabricators, gearheads, people that are building race cars, building engines, chassis, just fabricating. And we're in that fabrication world. So when we get up there, we're talking, well, the people that come by the booth are legitimate. Not to say that, again, I got to be careful with the words. I didn't mean it. Not legitimate. Yeah. It's just that, you know, they're ready to talk about the nerdiness of the drill bits. And I love that. What's all of it, you know? So yeah, we're gonna do that. And then like you said, the show season never stops, but I'll get a break in Christmas and etc. And then end of January it'll be on. And I'll be January, February, March, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll be talking to you a year from now, going like, hey, let's catch up. I'll be like, yep, yeah, year went by in about 20 minutes.
It did, man. Well, next time we're hanging out at SEMA. I know that much.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, I'll put you on my crew tab. You know, if you meet you want, like.
No, that'll be awesome, man. Well, Andy, thank you so much for your time, man. I know time's winding down. We got work to do, and you know, family and all that good stuff. So, we'll go ahead and cut it there before we jump off here. Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Justin, I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and then also allowing me to be on here, which is.
It's been awesome.
I don't know why you want me on here, but that's awesome. I appreciate that. And yeah, it's been awesome meeting you hope to get to see you more events and hang out and talk shop, see what best practices we can do to help each other, you know, going forward. Our website, I know you, if you're hearing this audioly, CanCut sounds like the words CanCut, CanCut. That's how you pronounce it. But the actual website is KNKUT. So that's cancut.com. And then our socials are CanCut Drill Bits. We spend most of our time on Instagram. We do not have a very much YouTubing thing, which I need to probably do more of.
Yeah.
Facebook is okay, but mostly on Instagram. So yeah, we'd love a follow. So follow us, and if we can ever help with anybody with anything, do not hesitate to reach out to us.
Yeah. What's the history on that name? Because now I'm curious.
All right. We'll make it quick because we got to get out of here.
Good.
All right. So my dad, he came up with that, and it's a play on words. And to his credit, he wanted to have the word cut in there. And so he wanted to put can cut in there, but then as he continued to, you know, again, C-A-N, can, you know, cut, C-U-T, there was just no way to make it flow, make it look, you know, et cetera. Well, the K came into thought, you know, process-wise, because you could put a drill bit in there. And once he thought about putting K in there, like, because it phonetically sounded the same, then he cut the other part out of it out. And a funny thing about that, and I love this, is because nobody knows how to say it, and it's the biggest blessing and curse in the world for us, because guess what? It intrigues so much. People get intrigued by it, and they want to know what it means or how to say it, or can they say it correctly, or why. And for us, it's been an unintentional help or benefit,
yeah,
because it's so unique. And I had one, and again, you know, I understand this because I'm in marketing. And I had one person telling me, like, we've really pigeonholed ourselves in our branding because we can't really expand outside of, you know, a drill bit, you know, and et cetera. And I just disagree with that because, you know, the cutting tool itself can be many multiple cutting tools, but it's synonymous. It will still be a cutting tool, whether it was an end mill or this kind of, et cetera. So they were right to a point, right? You do kind of pigeonhole yourself, but it has not held true. In fact, the CamCut logo, the name of it has grown because there's like this, what was mystique behind it. Like there's something where, what does that mean? Oh, wait, I don't want to say anything. Like, hey, let me ask my friend, what does that mean? Like, how do you say that, et cetera? And especially in the age of social media, it's been great because, you know, a lot of influencers that we've, you know, befriended over the years and worked with and stuff, they're always like, before I say anything, can you just tell me how to say it? So, yeah, that's really where it came from. I don't think that my dad had a stroke of genius thinking that this was going to happen after the fact. I think that he just wanted to, you know, he wanted people to see it and say like, oh, that's drill bits. And that's what he did. And it worked. And now it's actually turned into something very cool and marketable because it's unique.
The logo's great. The colors are great. And it's definitely a good merch swag thing too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dad. I'll tell you that. So.
Absolutely. And if you have any banners, I don't know if you keep banners in stock or whatever it may be, I will buy one from you on Sunday, assuming I will see you.
No, you don't have to buy anything. I'll bring you. We don't even do banners. I do tackers, dude. Because I feel like everything that we do, last thing, I don't want to kind of do like everybody else. And I don't want it to be, again, using my words, I don't want it to come across cheap because our products are not cheap.
Yeah.
We have high-end products. We have high-end quality stuff. So our swag, it's got to be high-end. So we didn't do any banners, but I have like little, they call them tackers. They're aluminum signs. Yeah, it's a metal sign. Yeah, for your garage and stuff. And so I got those. So I'll bring some of that. I'll bring that to you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, everybody, don't forget, letsgrow.work, hashtag LFG fan, where success is in the details. Andy, thank you again. We'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.